ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Right now, if you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions, 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, fields of study. Category number 2, prisoners. Category number 3, namesakes. Category number 4, spears. And category number 5, famous caths. All right, fields of study, prisoners, namesakes, spears, famous caths. Narelle from Wagga Wagga is going to kick us off. G'day, Narelle.
Good evening, Philip.
How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. And yourself?
Oh, never been better, Narelle.
Oh,
never
great
been
to
better.
Hear. You wouldn't want to be around Wagga Wagga where I am. We've the highest incidence of asthma and hay fever, and we've had a terrible, terrible time with it because there's been a lot of wind.
Oh,
and I think that's
no.
It all up.
Well, yeah. This time of the year is no good anyway, is it, because of all the pollen around?
No.
And you've had the wind as well. Are you taking something, Narelle?
Oh, I've got about 10 lines of defence, actually.
I'm a fellow sufferer, Narelle. I'm a fellow sufferer. So, yeah, I know. I know exactly how you feel.
Mm.
I'm constantly whacking things up the hooter and taking tablets and doing all sorts of things.
That's all you can do. And you have a crack at this, see if this makes a difference. Oh, and then you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't be mixing all that. But anyway, keep going.
I was even taking apple cider vinegar at one stage. Have you ever tried that?
Well, no, I haven't. No, I've got water kefir, which is something sort of a bit similar. But I even have an air cleaner thing in my bedroom so that I've got one room where I can go to a purifier, HEPA filters and all that, so I can have one room I can go to where I think it might be a bit fresher.
Gee, I'm glad that I didn't tell Dr. Nick Teller that I was taking apple cider vinegar. Anyway, I can report that it made no difference whatsoever, Narelle, but anyway. What do you like here? Fields of study, prisoners, namesakes, spears, famous caths.
Haven't got a clue on any of those, so what about namesakes?
Namesakes. Hmm. Here we go. Question number 1. Named for a 19th century English artillery officer. What term is used for shell fragments?
I think I heard this recently because my sister-in-law was having an MRI and they asked if she had any shrapnel in her body before she could have the MRI. They do ask that. Shrapnel.
Correct, Narelle. Yes.
Oh, there you go. And she couldn't understand what we were saying and I had to say, have you been shot?
I reckon shrapnel, I agree with you. I reckon it's one of those old-fashioned pieces of Australian slang which, you know, I know what you're talking about and plenty of people listening to the program would know what you're talking about, but I reckon a younger generation probably wouldn't. Well,
no,
partly because they never deal with shrapnel anymore.
No, like shell shock. They don't, you know, there's other terms that describe that these days. You don't hear of someone being shell shocked, do you?
Yeah, I know, but if you've got a pocket full of change, you don't say, you know,
have you got any
shrapnel?
Yeah, that's what they used to call it.
That'll be $2.26. Have you got any shrapnel?
Yeah.
Question 2.
You know what?
Yeah.
I want to tell you this. I just bought a 100-year-old sewing machine and it had the original receipt talking about pounds, shillings and pence.
Mm.
And the receipt, it was made in 1924, sold in 1924 for £27.
Hang on, in 1924?
The original receipt came with the machine and
that
all
that. Seems like a lot of money to me.
I thought that too. That would have bought a car, wouldn't it?
Hang on, 24 pounds?
No, 1924, it was £27.
£27 in 1924. That sounds like a lot of money to me.
It would have, because you would have only got £1 or £2 pay for the week.
Absolutely. Gee, they must. Hype is a fancy sewing machine, Narelle.
Well, no, it's just like those ordinary Singer treadle sewing machines. Yep. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we just bought an EV, fully EV VW. Can't believe that we've done it.
You have been shopping, Narelle.
Yes, but one extreme to the other, isn't it?
In 2025 pounds, right?
Yeah.
That would be 2,097 pounds.
That's what, yeah. Well, that's only 2 weeks' pay in today's language. That doesn't seem enough.
Question number two, namesakes. No. That's what we are, where we are, but you can move, is
right? Right, come on.
Which word for a dark outline takes its name from a French finance minister from the 18th century?
Dark outline. Oh, French. No idea.
Narelle, yes. I'm glad you're going to keep fit with the sewing machine because it's one of the foot treadles, is it?
Yeah, that'll get the lung function happening, won't it?
That'll keep your cardio up, I'm sure.
Good on you. Thanks.
See you, Narelle. Bye. Narelle from Wagga Wagga. Yes. Yes, I have been shot, says my texter, and I've got shrapnel in me, so I can't have an MRI, so I better stay healthy. Fair enough, too. That's why the sewing machine's still going 100 years later, is it's well made. Yeah, but I still think that's expensive, though. Well, it would have been expensive. £27 back in 1924. Wow. Bob from Orange says, my slang for coins is Kembla Grange. Got any Kembla Grange change? Yeah. £27 could be the weight, this is Glenn from Penrith. No, well, she had a receipt. That's the whole point. Shrapnel didn't start out as Australian slang. It's a military term. Yeah, no, I know it's a military term, but it's been Australian slang for change for a while, hasn't it? Zane from Adelaide. G'day, Zane. Hi, Zane.
Howdy, how's it going?
Not bad. Question number two. We're in namesakes. Which word for a dark outline takes its name from a French finance minister?
Oh, I'm not sure.
No good? All right, no worries, Jane. We'll move on in that case. Leonie from Cairns. G'day, Leonie.
Oh, good evening, Phil.
Evening. How's what's the weather like in Cairns, all right?
It's only 33 today, but... quite humid, and we did have a shower last night. We need some of that rain that the south east Queensland is getting. They get everything down there.
Well, hang on, Leonie. Be careful what you wish for, because I would think, given the time of the year, you're about to cop some rain, aren't you?
Well, we should do, and we're waiting to be able to whinge about it. But if I was going to whinge about anything tonight, it'd be that possibility that we might get Barnaby back in Queensland. I mean,
yes, I heard that. Yes. Well, there you go. You see, that's where we begin. See, that's right. Apparently, the plan is for when Pauline cooks him some sausages and mash or whatever she's going to cook him, fish and chips or whatever, and Barnaby's tucking in with his napkin tucked in his shirt collar. She's going to say, what about a Senate seat in Queensland?
Yes.
And he's going to say, what's that?
Well, we've got something.
And he'll be one of your state representatives, Leonie.
Well, he might be interested in, you've heard of drop bears.
Yes.
Well, we've had crocs up here, apparently.
Drop crocs.
Yes. No, for real. I heard it on ABC. Yeah,
must be true.
Yeah. Yes, about 4 million years ago, there were crocodiles in the trees that jumped on their prey.
as somebody would say, Leonie, what a croc.
Yes, I know. Anyway,
may
I say good evening to my dear friend up in Darwin, Pearly. And all the Telelink friends I've got and Vision
Good
Australia.
Good on you. Now tell me, which word for a dark outline takes its name from a French finance minister of the 18th century?
I'm guessing it may be silhouette.
Correct, yes. Minister Silhouette. Actually, Pearly better batten down the hatches, because I was looking at the weather report today and there's a possible tropical cyclone forming up in the Gulf.
Have they named it yet?
I don't think so, because it's not quite. I don't think it's a cyclone just yet, but they think it will. They think it will become one.
Well, it's where we live.
I know. Question three. We're in namesakes. You can move if you like, or you can stay here.
No, I think it might be safer to stay there at the others.
Question number three.
Right.
Mm. Which 19th century British Prime Minister gives his name to a capital city, a dish of food, and a type of footwear?
Wellington?
Correct. Yes. The Duke of Wellington. That is Wellington, the capital city of New Zealand.
All about beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington. We didn't. Well, let's move on. Yes. And a type of footwear. Yeah, I don't think people say Wellington boots that much in Australia, do they? But they do. So they do in England.
Yes.
Question four. We're in namesakes. Yes.
Yes.
After years of delays, which piece of scientific equipment was finally launched on the 24th of April, 1990? After years of delays, which piece of scientific equipment was finally launched on the 24th of April, 1990?
I happen to poo.
Well, that's fair enough. Nice speaking with you, Loney.
Thank you.
See you. Bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Barb from Forker Bridge. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Question number four. We're in namesakes. After years of delays, which piece of scientific equipment was finally launched on the 24th of April, 1990? We're in a category called namesakes.
To be quite honest, but a smartphone.
Not a smartphone, no.
Yes,
thanks, Bob. See you, Bob. Yes, no, not in there. Paul says, "Good evening, Phil and fellow night laughers." Back in the '70s, the term "got any shrappy" often used to be used on the way to the tuck shop. Ah, those pineapple donuts. Yes. All righty. Where are we? Dave from Sonata. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Phil. How are you going?
Good. Up to question four. Namesakes. After years of delays, which piece of scientific equipment was finally launched on the 24th of April, 1990?
Right up my alley. That would have to be... Oh, hang on. I think it's the Hubble Space Telescope.
Correct. Yes, it was.
I was going to say, it's too early for the space station, so yeah.
Yes, but we're in a category called namesakes, you see, and it's called the Hubble Space Telescope because it was named after...
Edward Hubble. Edward?
Edwin. Hubble. Edwin Hubble.
Edwin. We'll just call him Ed.
The astronomer, Edwin Hubble. Yes, the Hubble Space Telescope. Is it still going, or is there a bit? Oh, no, there's a better one up there now, isn't there?
They've got the James Webb.
The James Webb's telescope. There's a better one now, isn't there? Yeah.
So
is the Hubble still up there, though? I think it is.
Well, I think it's still up there, but whether it's still giving off data that's productive, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Heather from Mount Barker, by the way, just on the price of sewing machines, Dave, which we all need to keep abreast of.
Yeah, we should do.
Exactly. Yep. Heather from Mount Barker says the price of £27 for a Singer treadle sewing machine sold in 1920 would be correct. My late husband and I used to collect old furniture, and the selling prices for them were anything between £20 to £60. Yeah. Okay. But that would be a major purchase, a major household purchase. Yeah.
Well, when that was said, I thought, yeah, that's huge for 24? That's massive, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yep.
As I say, putting it in today's pounds, it'd be to more than £2,000, today's money, $4,000. Yeah. Maybe that's about right. But, I suppose, what it was a major piece of household appliance you're buying, would you call it an appliance? No.
Well,
what would you call a machine? A machine for the house.
A machine, yeah.
Yep. And you would expect it to last, of course, for the, you know, all of your life and be handed on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Cheryl from Townsville says, I've got a receipt for the Model T Ford my dad bought in 1948 for £27.
Serious?
£27 buys your stuff, doesn't it?
That is cool.
Dave.
That is really good. Yep.
Question five.
Yep, let's do it.
We're in namesakes. There's one left here.
Let's stay there.
Which item of knitwear is named after the British Army officer who led the charge of the Light Brigade during the Crimean War?
Well, the only knitwear I can think of is a cardigan.
Correct. Oh, Enter the Valley of Death rode Lord Cardigan. I don't think he was wearing a cardigan, was he?
I wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't go. Would you go into battle with a cardi?
Oh, depends. Depends how fashionable I want to be, Phil.
Into the Valley of Death. Question. Well, that's it for namesakes. No one's wanted to be that adventurous. So all namesakes are gone. So fields of study, prisoners, spears, famous cats.
I'm tossing up between prisoners or fields of study. Fields of study.
Fields of study.
Yep.
Elaine says, that would have been right. Yeah. Elaine from Croydon South says sewing machines used to be paid off over time. I suppose that was it.
That makes a bit more sense.
That would make sense too.
Yep.
Because you wouldn't have 27 quid just lying around, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
From Singleton says, yes, both telescopes, the Hubble and the Webb, James Webb, are still very much in use.
Oh, there you go.
All righty. Question six, fields of study. Oncology is the field of medicine dealing with which diseases?
Cancers.
Correct, yes. Cancers. Okay, nice work. Fields of study. Which ology derives its name from the Greek word for soul or spirit?
Ooh, jeepers. I think I'm about to bomb out here. Soul or spirit? Philosophy. No, that's not even an ology. But anyway, we'll go with that.
Not philosophy, Dave, no.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. See you later. Yes. Where's my wellies, Dad used to ask me when I took them to go fishing. We'd only afford one pair, says Chipper on King Island. Okay, yeah. No, look, it was. Okay. Jane from Homebush says it's not pronounced card. It might be spelt cardigan, but it's pronounced Cadogan. Oh, into the Valley of Death Road, Lord Cadogan, with his cardigan, perhaps. Okay, the Lord Cadogan, there you go. All righty, where are we? Mark from Coffs Harbour. G'day, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hello. We're in fields of study. Which ology derives its name from the Greek word for soul or spirit?
I'll have to drop down too.
No good. All righty, we can move on. Let's go to Steve-O in the Adelaide Hills. G'day, Steve-O.
Yo, how are you?
Pretty good, yeah. Dog and cat all right?
Yeah, they are. They're both on my lap right now. I don't know if you can hear. This is Algeba purring. She just brushed against the phone, so I can still hear.
Hang on, did you say you've got dog and cat on your lap, Steve?
Yep, both of them, yep.
If you need, okay,
they get on so well.
If you need help at any stage, Steve, you could call me, all right?
Yeah, they're both very happy.
Hey, which ology derives its name from the Greek word for soul or spirit?
I think it's psychology for
correct.
Psyche.
Yes, psyche.
Which is also an asteroid. There's an asteroid and an asteroid mission, and they're both named Psyche, which I think is very confusing. And, both the Hubble and the JWST are working well.
Oh, yeah.
One's an infrared telescope, and Hubble's the optical telescope. And James Webb, the JWST, will run out of fuel and eventually warm up, whereas Hubble's been working since 1919. It's taken some incredible images, but NASA as a whole is in big trouble, and there's a worry that it may well fall victim to Trump's budget cuts, which is something like half of NASA's budget.
Mm.
And a lot of scientists have been protesting, and a lot of missions that are actually pretty important and pretty remarkable.
Hubble's got an actual mirror, hasn't it? It's an actual,
yes,
it's an optical telescope.
Mirror, and, I mean, they JWST has like a hexagonal mirror that's aligned for different wavelengths. That's for the infrared.
Yeah.
And, yeah, to say a lot of missions that have taken decades of work and had, you know, hundreds of scientists dedicating their lives to are now under quite a big cloud. And, of course, anything related to climate is now considered verboten there. So,
I know.
Yeah.
Yes, the madness of America. Rura from Upper Plenty says the sewing machine was expensive, but it did enable women to clothe their families much more cheaply and creatively. In 1982, I bought a state-of-the-art machine for $600. Very expensive then too, but it was also very helpful. Yeah, that's true. Oh, that is true.
Can I put in a request? Can we get subtitles on the TV for the quiz? So I'll watch it on the TV and listen on the phone and subtitles would be really nice.
Oh, Steve-o, you will... We would have to have a whole technology. No, I think the answer is no, Steve. Dave is looking with horror at me, you know, and he's thinking, "What? That'd be me." That would be on me. He's thinking. And question number eight: we're in fields of study.
Yes, stay there.
Mycology is the scientific study of which living things?
Fungi.
Correct.
Very underrated and very important organisms.
Yes, well, let's move on from fungi because the country spent far too much time talking about it, I think.
Yeah, particularly in Beef Wellington.
Shush, Steve-o. Martin,
can I give a shout out to Jeffrey Orr and to Uncle John as well if they're listening?
There you go. Martin from Darlinghurst says, morning, in 1955, my dad, who was 10 years old, went to the corner shop with a £1 note his mum had given him to buy milk. The shopkeeper rang his mum to check if he'd stolen it. Oh, that's true. She should have sent him down with shrapnel. You see, that would have been fine. Arthur from Dover in Tassie says, we still refer to our gumboots as wellies, but sometimes also as gummies. Yeah, I always knew them as gummies.
I've always been wellies to me.
These days, gummies mean something entirely different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Question number nine. All right, we're in fields of study.
Yep, staying there. That's the one I was hoping for.
Thanatology. Thanatology is the study of which natural process?
Death.
Correct.
Which is, yeah, Thanos is basically, I think it's the Greek for death.
Yeah. You're good at these, Steve-o.
Yeah,
fields of study.
This was the category I was hoping to get, so I'm happy I got there.
Fields of study. Question number 10. Yep. Steve-o, with dog and cat aboard, is motoring nicely. Osteology is the treatment and study of what?
Bones.
Yeah, that was too easy for you, Steve-o. I promise you, there's no more easy ones like that. That's it. You're done. Okay, no more fields of study. No more question number 10. So we're moving to spears, famous caths, or prisoners.
Is that caths or cats?
You wish.
Famous cat.
No. Cat. Well, it's famous cats with an H. Can I say that? Yeah.
With an H. Yep. Okay.
Is that what we're doing?
What are the other options?
Prisoners or spears?
Spears. Oh, I'll go famous cats. I'll give that a whirl.
Famous cats. Steve-o, in fine form. At the moment, which Oscar-winning actress made her debut in 1932 in A Bill of Divorcement?
You say 1932. I'm wondering whether it's a long time before my time, but I'm wondering whether that might have been Katharine Hepburn. Is she of that era?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, I'll give that a whirl.
Correct.
My guess.
Correct.
What are you looking for?
Somebody's movement. Meg. Meg, my own darling.
I'm not Meg.
Oh, of course. Who are you?
I think I'm your daughter.
Daughter? Daughter? My wife's not my wife. She's my daughter.
You're forgetting it's been years and years.
Of course. It is years. It's a lifetime. My daughter's lifetime. What's your name? Daughter.
Sydney.
Sydney. Sydney, eh? And my mother was Sydney. I like Sydney.
There you go. See, there you go. Catherine Hepburn. Jenny in Perth says it's always been Wellies or Wellingtons in WA too. Okay.
Yeah, always been Wellies here as well. My wife called them Wellies.
This is a different Jen saying, Phil, Steve-O's talking about the madness of cutting NASA, but the madness of Australia because we're cutting funding to our very own CSIRO.
CSIRO, yeah, absolutely.
I know.
We're living in an age where we're absolutely dependent on technology and yet we're not funding education and research and critical thinking anywhere near well enough. And, yeah, the funding cuts, I heard about that today with the CSIRO, are terrible. And we only recently, the other year, had a struggle to keep our South Australian Museum going. And that's, you know, one of the things that inspires people for science. And that was facing a lot of chop and funding cuts from the bean counters. I think we need to value our science and our museums and our scientific agencies a lot more and fund them a lot better. And obviously it's something I care pretty passionately about and would like to see it happening, and I'd like to see, yeah, more teaching and critical thinking there.
Here endeth the lesson. Here endeth the lesson, Steve. But I think a lot of people would agree with you too. All right, Preacher Pessa from Tenterfield has had a number of correct answers. Good on you. Annette from Argyle as well. All right, question number 12. You've had five on the trot here, Steve-O. This is your best run for a bit. We're in famous Caths, okay? Catherine Linton and her daughter Kathy are two of the main characters of which 1847 novel?
1847? Oh, it goes back away. I wonder whether it's not Little Women, is it? Oh, I don't think it is. It's not the Seven Little Australians, was that set? That was set then, but was it written then? I think that was set around that time. I'm not sure. No, because there was a Judy there, but was there also... I'm just going to guess and probably eliminate it for someone else. I'm going to guess with Seven Little Australians.
Sorry, Steve-O, that's not correct. Good on you. Thank you for the very minor soapbox which you were climbing up on. I appreciate it. See you, Steve-O.
See ya.
Bye. 1-300-800-222. Princha Pessa says we never wore wellies. We always wore gumboots. This could go on all night, couldn't it? Dear. Lynn in Perth says, Phil, in 1960, I'd be given 2 and 6 on a Saturday to go to the matinee pictures. 1 and 6, got a chalk bomb, 6p, a sixpence in the Saturday night paper. 1 and 6, got a chalk bomb, sixpence in the Saturday night paper for my dad on the way home. There you go. Yes, those were the days, huh? Where are we? Joanna from Newcastle. Hi, Jo.
Hi, Philip.
Thanks for waiting on. We're in question. We're up to question number 12.
Yeah.
Famous Caths. Catherine Linton and her daughter Kathy are two of the main characters of which 1847 novel?
That's Wuthering Heights.
It would be Wuthering Heights, would it not? Yes, it would.
Wuthering. My brother said he's reading it at the moment. He's having a bit of a struggle with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's trying to read some classics.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. That's a good thing to do, yeah.
It is a bit of a, you know, you have to get used to it.
Well, I think sometimes you just have to get used to the language and just get into it that way.
Yep. Yeah.
You could buy him a graphic novel of Wuthering Heights if you like. I was trying to buy a book for a kid the other day, actually, and I said, you know, like maybe you've got a kid's version of this classic, and they said, we have got a graphic novel. I said, you mean a comic? Then she showed it to me. It was actually very good. The art of the graphic novel can vary a lot. Question 13, famous Caths.
I'll try that. Yeah, thanks.
You can go Spears or Prisoners if you like.
No, I'll try the Cath.
Catherine the Great was born in which modern day country?
I don't know a lot about her, but I think it might have been Germany.
It's not Germany. No, thanks. See ya. Bye. No, it's not Germany. Aidan in Brisbane. G'day, Aidan.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. We're up to question 13. Famous Caths. Catherine the Great was born in which modern-day country?
I'm not sure, but before I go out, I will say that young people do use shrapnel. I think it's a bit of a timeless sort of term.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, it's good to hear. I just thought, I mean,
especially because I work in a pub, so you've got.
You work in a pub, so you would be getting a lot of shrapnel.
A lot of people paying coins. Yeah. But like even before that, you know, it was still a term that people use, but. I've got no clue, but I'll go out and say Mongolia.
Mongolia is fair enough. Why not? Yeah. No, sorry, Aidan, thank you. But
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the call. Oliver's in Fitzroy. Oh, no, he was in Fitzroy, but now he's disappeared on me. Josh in Darlington. G'day, Josh.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good.
I had the Wuthering Heights question was good. My sister was named after Emily Bronte. And I ended up marrying a French girl called Bronte, believe it or not.
Oh, nice. Just, how good is that?
Yeah, very uncommon name. I've been surrounded by Brontes my whole life.
The beauty of the Brontes, Josh.
It was the film Green Card with Gerard Depardieu. I should say that right.
Oh, is that where she was named?
Name was Bronte.
That's where she was named.
Yeah,
because I was thinking that a French name, Bronte? I suppose.
No, it's. I think it's Greek. It means the storm, which is appropriate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you calm occurrence in your home life, Josh.
No, it's all good.
You'll get into trouble talking to me like this, you know.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I know. I should let her know.
Bronte's network could be larger than you think.
We would always look at any name that had Bronte in it. The intro to Greece, there's a Bronte in there, and then
that's right.
With the two dots above the E, and then you know Bronte, the lead in Braveheart, was a Bronte as well.
That's true.
The Book of Bronte.
I think there's a suburb of Bronte, isn't there?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we've been to Sydney, went to Bronte Beach. Yeah,
Bronte. That's right. There's a beach too, Bronte Beach. Yes.
Beach, yes,
trying to think of other Brontes. There are Brontes. There's no Brontes in Melbourne. Is there a Bronte in Melbourne? I don't know. Don't think so.
It can also be a boy's name as well. I think it's
Bronte is a boy's name. It can be. Yes, it can be.
Yeah.
Probably be a brave parent. Probably be a brave parent at the moment that would go there. But you could because it is a boy's name.
I think so. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. As long as you keep the two dots above the E, and that's
Yeah. Exactly. All righty. Question 13. Actually, it would make quite a solid name for a boy if you think about it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the storm. The strong.
Yeah, the strong. Yeah. The storm. Question 13. We're in famous Caths. Catherine the Great was born in which modern-day country?
I think it's Poland.
Correct. It is, yes. Catherine the Great was born in Poland. That's the modern-day country.
Yeah, there's a good adaptation of Catherine the Great. It came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to remember what it's called. Oh, it doesn't matter, either or other. Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to have to change topics, Phil.
Okay. We got spears or prisoners?
I'm hoping, just because I finished Alexander Dumas's Count of Monte Cristo, I'm going to go prisoners, and I just hope that he is somehow mentioned in there.
Prisoners, okay. Hey, by the way, that's very nice. Doug from Golden Beach has given us some good info here. He said, you don't know how indebted we are to the Crimean War for clothing terms, because there was Lord Cadogan, who we now know was wearing a cardigan. The British commander-in-chief was Lord Raglan, who gave us the Raglan sleeve. And the same campaign also gave us the balaclava. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. All right.
Okay, question 14. We're in prisoners. This one requires some specialist knowledge, but then it's pretty general these days. Owl Post, Aunt Marge's Big Mistake, and The Dementor's Kiss are chapters in which 1999 children's novel were in a category called prisoners.
I'm a child growing up in the 90s, and I believe it's in Harry Potter. If it's the Dementor's Kiss, it's going to have to be the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Correct. Very good. Excellent work. Yes. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Turn to page 394.
3, 2, yes!
Sirius Black has escaped from Azkaban prison.
He's a murderer.
Sirius Black is the reason the Potters are dead.
And now he wants to finish what he started.
I want you to swear to me you won't go looking for Black.
Why would I go looking for someone who wants to kill me?
No, confirmation from our Nightlife family, there's no Brontes in Melbourne. But, however, Julie and also Maria say there is Bronte Park. There is too. Bronte Park's in Tassie. It's bang smack in the middle of the state. It's very, very cold. Brilliant.
We'll have to visit that.
I think in Bronte Park.
Our journey to Brontes.
Yeah. I've got a feeling in Bronte Park there's an old, one of the original trout hatcheries. I think is at Bronte Park. I think so.
I know there's one in Evandale. What's it called? Clarendon Estate, where they first hatched the trout.
Okay. Do you have do you have children, Josh?
I've got a little daughter who's 5.
And what's she called?
Clementine or Clementine.
Oh, Clementine. No, I was just wondering whether we're continuing the Wuthering Heights theme here in some way or shape or form.
Oh no. No, we went to for an old French name. Clementine.
Well, there we are.
Clementine. Oui, très bien, Phil.
Clementine. Question 15. We're in prisoners.
Yep.
What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner?
Oh, my gosh. I've not seen it, so I'm just going to have a guess. A number that's assigned to The Prisoner.
In the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner.
Oh, look, I've no idea. I'm just going to go 666. Sorry, Phil.
Not correct, Josh, but thank you anyway.
All the best. Thank you.
Good luck to all the Brontes in your life. Good on you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trevor.
Phil.
Hello.
Okay. Short and sweet. I did know it at one stage.
What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner?
I did know it, and it's...
It's gone.
Just not coming back. I'm pretty sure it's 3 digits, so I'll say 734.
No. Sorry, Trev. No, yeah. Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. No, not correct. What about Steve from Leicester? Hi, Steve. Steve?
Pleasure as always, Phil.
Indeed. Pleasure as mine as well. Question 15. Prisoners. What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner?
I was thinking earlier, why would I read Emily Bronte when I could just listen to Kate Bush? Get the whole story in one, 8 minutes or something.
Yeah, but that would require you listening to Kate Bush, Steve.
Oh, it's all right. She's not too bad.
I'm zipping up here at this point.
Okay, fine. And Steve from Adelaide Hills, yeah, excellent. So.
Yes, it was. It was an excellent
book, yes.
Tell me, what number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner?
I'm not going to say 0, but that's probably getting been on a run of ducks like Greg Chappell. Number 1.
Not a number 1, no. Sorry, Steve. Thank you, mate. See ya. Yes, on Brontes and the fact that it's a boy's name as well. You don't hear of too many Brontes as a boy's name. Although Bruce says Bronte Mumford played Australian rules footy for North Adelaide, the Roosters, in the early 70s, they won 2 premierships, I think, beat Carlton in the Australian Championship game on the Adelaide Oval in 1972. Good on you, Bronte Mumford. There you go. Brony from Adelaide's got the right answer here. Tess from South Australia's got the right answer. Frank from Mount Evelyn. Jane from Homebush. Plenty of others as well. What about Paul in Geelong? Hi, Paul.
Good
There you go.
Not bad. What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series The Prisoner?
No idea. 717.
No. Thanks, Paul. See you, mate. Bye-bye. No, not 717. Dan from Newcastle. G'day, Dan.
Hey, Phil. How you going?
Not too bad. How was work? All right?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Pretty
good.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Any...
You've been keeping good?
Yeah, I've been keeping really well, actually. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
In sparkling health. You kind of have to know this, don't you? What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series, The Prisoner?
Well, I've never seen it. Before I bomb out, I'll just say, g'day to Rob from East Maitland, and I'll say number four.
Number four? Okay, no, it's not number four. Thanks, Dan. See you, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you. Yes. Oh, it's not Brontë. Thank you, Damien, in New Norfolk. The trout hatchery that I referred to, which is called the Salmon Ponds, is at Plenty on the road to Bushy Park, not Brontë Park. That was my confusion. Thank you. Which is some way further up the road, but it's all well worth a visit. Yes, thank you. Sandy from Strathpine says, don't forget Brontë Barrett, the swimmer. No, that's true. And Brontë Campbell, of course. Yeah, that's true. Good on you, Trish. There's a town called Brontë in Sicily, says Elizabeth. Where are we? Glenn from Frankston. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Phil. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. What number was assigned to the title character in the surreal 60s spy series The Prisoner?
I think the other callers have helped me a little bit. It is a single digit. I think it's six.
Correct, it is. It is number...
I've had it before. And another trivia question.
It's number six, exactly. All right.
Time,
yeah, you kind of.
Was that Patrick McGoohan? Was that the actor?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Brontë Beat was an 80s band, says Guy from Kiama. Yeah, it was actually. No. Bronski. Bronski Beat, not Brontë Beat. No, Bronski Beat. Yeah. Righto, question 16. Prisoners, that's where we are, but you can move to famous Caths or Spears. If you like.
I'm trying to avoid Spears.
Okay. Prisoners or famous Caths?
I'll have a go at Caths, maybe, Phil.
Okay. Famous Caths. Who was Henry VIII's fifth wife?
Okay. I'm going to go with Catherine Howard.
Correct. Very good. Catherine Howard.
Because he had Aragon was first wife, and I think his last wife was Catherine Parr. I think from memory.
Well, his first wife was Catherine too. Yeah.
He had three
Catherines. One Anne.
Yeah.
He had two Annes. He had Anne of Cleves as well.
He wasn't happy. He thought, I'll start my own church because they wouldn't let me divorce. So let's... Yeah, that works.
Oh, gee. Glenn, I'm not going into theology with you.
No, not at all, mate.
You're on your own. Question 17. Yeah.
Once again, you've left me. Thank you.
Famous Caths. Last one, if you like.
Yes, please.
Catherine is a town in which Australian state or territory?
It is in the Northern Territory.
Correct, it is. Catherine is in the Northern Territory. Correct. All right, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 left. We've got 3 in Prisoners and 5 in Spears.
I'm hoping that one of the Spears questions might be to do with the wonderful Brittany, but I'll wait for a minute. I'll go to Prisoners for safety's sake. Because I know the challenge likes to stir up the odd little...
Baroni from Adelaide says... Baroni from Adelaide says the suave Patrick McGoohan was the lead in The Prisoner. There you go. PJ from Ballarat says Brontë Lamming, a man, was my first boss when I joined the ANZ Bank in Swan Hill in the 1980s. Oh, well, there you go.
I've got a name that I never thought it was a girl's name, but there's some very famous Glens who are females as well. Glenn Close is an actress, so yes.
Oh, Glenn. Yeah. No, Glenn's. That's right. That's a reasonably well-known girl's name, isn't it? Glenn. You can get Glennis out of it.
I've got it all from my mates at school, Phil. I could tell you what.
Oh, would you? Oh, you were called Glenys, were you?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sorry, Glenn.
Sorry, Glenn. They should remain nameless because they know who they are.
Glenys. It's going to see, the trouble is, Glenn, you see, from me, from now on, you know what you're going to be. That's right.
Well, Suzanne and I, we like to call ourselves the double N's.
The double, yes, true. Yes, Glenn and Suzanne, that's true. Question 18. We're in prisoners, if you like.
Thank you.
Rupert of Hensau is the dashing villain of which 1894 adventure novel by Anthony Hope? We're in a category called prisoners.
Thank you for reminding me. is it the Prisoner of Zenda, something like that?
What's your answer?
The Prisoner of Zenda.
Correct. The Prisoner of Zenda.
Oh, I almost was going to say Zenda. I thought, no, it's, yeah.
Thank you, Guy from Kiama and others who said, reminded us, was Jane Seymour, was the eighth wife.
Ah, yes, the Jane.
By the way, Glenn from Frankston, you would know this, but Glenn Close is Glenda. She was named Glenda. Whereas you're just Glenn. Unless other boys were let loose in the playground near you.
My mother called me Glenn because she wanted a name that couldn't get shortened. So at the age of about 3 months, as I'm walking or being pushed in the pram, a lady came up and said, as was the go back in those days, "Oh, what a lovely little boy. What's his name?" And Mum said, "Glenn." And she said, "Oh, Glennie."
That's what happens.
That's exactly what happens.
That's what happens. Brother Trucker says, "You should cue a boy named Sue."
Oh, yes. Yes.
Question 19. Prisoners. Two left here. What was the name of the prison in the Australian TV series Prisoner?
Wentworth.
Correct. Yes, it was. The prison was called Wentworth.
I can't believe you're serious.
What you believe doesn't interest me in the slightest.
Joan, I'm not going to let you do it.
And how do you propose stopping me? Are you forgetting who's in charge here?
You're the one who can never get that straight. Anne is head of this prison, not you.
Ah, but she's not here, is she? She's off at her Bleeding Heart Prison Reform Conference. I am in charge.
You are deliberately rushing this through because you know Anne won't have a bar of it.
Oh, I think I'm doing precisely what you would expect me to do. I have done what any self-respecting governor would do. Now, that woman tried to destroy a prison facility and kill another inmate. I am quite sure that Maxwell would have been dead if I hadn't arrived when I did.
There you go.
Maggie Kirkpatrick, I think. Is that in that act in that?
That's, I think that was it. Yeah, that was it.
I was never allowed to watch it as a kid.
Well, then fair enough too. Why would little Glennie be allowed to watch that?
Thank you, little Glennie. Thank you very much for that.
Question 20.
My mates were, yeah.
Question 20. We're in prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Bolt was inmate number one at which American prison?
Alcatraz.
Correct. Yes, he was prisoner at Alcatraz, the island.
It's surrounded by alligators now, or is that too, I'm not allowed to say that, is that too political?
I don't think it is surrounded by, is it?
isn't that what Mr. Make America Great Again wants to do, build walls everywhere?
Oh, that's true, you wanted, yeah. I went to Alcatraz once when I was in the States, because I was curious to see it.
I would love to go to the States. For so many reasons, but at the moment, there's so many reasons
why you don't want to go. That's right. Yeah. So,
and I think it's just sad, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Principessa from Tenterfield, you're getting some sympathy from her, Glenn. I can't see why, but you are.
Thank you very much. You said, aren't you due to go on a holiday again?
Principessa, just toughen up, heaven's sake.
I've got to be exactly right, yeah.
Chipper in King Island, which I've always had, it's a soft spot for me, King Island. Well done, Glenno. There you go.
Glenno. I'll get, again, without giving my surname. I've got mates, parents who still only know me by my nickname.
Oh, okay. That's
what you do in Australia. You get either your name shortened or lengthened, or you get called by your surname.
Yeah.
And then that got shortened. That got shortened, and I've had it for yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Since grade four, which was a while ago.
Question 21. We've got five questions left, and they're all in spears.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you, Phil. And
I know you'd be right. In 2003, one of the spears that killed which explorer was sold for £135,000 at auction?
I know you don't give clues. Can I go Captain Cook?
Correct.
Hmm.
Yes. I told you you'd be right with it. Captain Cook.
Yeah, you've told me that before.
I thought Captain Cook died from a club. Oh, maybe speared and clubbed, I suppose.
Pretty anyway, dirty, I think.
He was dispatched anyway.
For good reason, some may say.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. How many have I done, Phil? I might be on my best.
You might be. What did you start with, Kath? What did you start with?
I think Kath. Prisoners.
Oh, you started with the prisoners. Yeah, number six.
I think six.
One, two, three, four. So you've had five. Theo in Melbourne says, Captain Cook and his crew kidnapped a Hawaiian high chief and killed Hawaiians trying to get him back just before he was killed. Not exactly, not a good reason, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember what actually happened. There was some confusion about what happened too, wasn't there? Stephen Tokenwell says, Phil, during the news just then, one of the ABC reporters was a Bronte. Hey. I think the chief was captured because they were trying to get a boat back, weren't they? Because there'd been a boat that had been stolen, and that's what it was about. Things escalated, as they so often do. All right, we've got to sort out this little thing called
the Mighty Challenge.
Glenn from Frankston was up on deck. Hi, Glenn. Welcome back.
Hi, mate. Thank you.
Question. Well, you've had five in a row, so if you answered all the remaining questions, you'll have nine in a row. Just okay, short of the Black Magnet. But still.
Let's take it one step at a time, Phil.
Glenn.
You have promised me before that I'm going to be safe and it's gone pear-shaped.
Yeah, that's true, yes. one of my texters says, I wouldn't get too cute with Glennis if I was you, Phyllis. Oh, I see. It's going like yes. That, is it? That's how it's.
I like the way this is going.
Yeah, when you start these things, that's how it usually ends up.
When you open Pandora's box, you just got to be careful what might jump out.
Question 22. Spears.
Yes. Yes, please.
Because it originally depicted a man holding a spear, which Russian coin has a name meaning spear in Russian?
I thought you're still going to give me a question about Britney, Phil.
That's what you're saying. Because it originally depicted a man holding a spear, which Russian coin has a name meaning spear in Russian?
Oh, don't know many Russian coins. I'll just go with the ruble and give someone else a go.
Yeah, it does give someone else a go. So, thanks. See you, Glenn.
I love it when you say it's a matter of fact. See you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Mick in Proserpine, but Mick is not in Proserpine. He's in Geelong right now. G'day, Mick.
G'day, Big Phil.
There's four to go here, so you could get home from here. Spears. Because it originally depicted a man holding a spear, which Russian coin has a name meaning spear in Russian?
I don't think I can help you, Phil, but I drive a 40-year-old Land Cruiser and my dad bought brand new and the receipt was in the glove box, $13,500 off the showroom floor.
That's very nice. Hang on, you're driving the car which your dad bought brand new?
Correct, yeah.
40 years ago?
That's yeah, 40 years this month, actually.
Hang on, you've done some. I mean, it's got. Is there anything original on it, Mick?
Yeah, we, me and my son rebuilt the engine two Christmases ago, but okay. Just about everything's original.
Is that right?
Honestly, Yeah, style aside, yeah, Cruiser Ute.
You would have had to redo the head and everything, would you, or not? No?
Well, we totally rebuilt the engine.
Oh, okay, righto, yeah. Oh, okay, but what, the body works okay, is it?
Yeah, quite okay, yeah.
Wow. That's very nice. A friend of mine has got a lovely little Alpha sports car, this friend of mine is in his late 60s, I would think, and it's the car that he learned to drive on. It belonged to his father, and it was, and he's done the same. He's rebuilt the whole thing. that's a lovely. It's a nice to have a family connection like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I drove it down to Geelong for Proserpine, actually. I love driving it around.
Yeah, oh, good on you. All right, yep. Well, they're hard to kill, as we know, Mick, the Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
Question 22. We're in spears. Because it originally depicted a man holding a spear, which Russian coin has a name meaning spear in Russian?
Oh, I have no idea at all, Phil, sorry.
No good. Thanks, Mick. Nice story. Okay. Nice story about the Land Cruiser. Thank you. Angus in Melbourne. G'day, Angus.
G'day, how you doing?
Pretty good. Only four to go. Question 22. Because it originally depicted a man holding a spear, which Russian coin has a name meaning spear in Russian?
I've just not long got back from Europe. It is the kopeck.
Correct. The kopeck, yes. Or kopeck, yes. What were you doing in Russia, Angus? You shouldn't have been. Would they let you in
there? No, nowhere near Russia. Had a bit of work over there. So okay. Was getting around the traps a little bit and trying to do that learn where you are type thing.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, that's very good. Three to go. Spears.
Beautiful.
Spears. Which Norse god wielded the spear Gungir or Gunnir, which never missed its mark?
That would be Odin.
Correct. Yes, it would be Odin. How do you pronounce his spear, Angus?
The Gungir?
The Gungir, isn't it? Or Gungnir?
I was one of those kids that grew up on that Percy Jackson and all those sort of type of books.
Nice.
So, yeah, the spear that never misses.
The spear that never missed its mark. Question 24. In 1154, we're in a category called spears. In 1154, Nicholas Breakspear became the first and only Englishman to hold which office?
Was Nicholas in the 11th? What year was it?
1154, Nicholas Breakspear became the first and so far only Englishman to hold which office?
Was he the only English pope?
Correct.
Oh, I have pulled that out of nowhere.
He was. Nicholas Breakspear was the first and only Englishman to ever hold the office of pope. And I imagine, given the current situation in England, you'd expect there wouldn't be any more popes coming from England anytime soon.
That was a complete guess. That was, I'm very lucky there.
His papal name was Adrian the Fourth.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that, because I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
No. All righty. I wonder, actually, Prince Charles met the Pope, wasn't it, a few weeks ago, didn't
Not
he?
Not long ago, yes.
I suppose he could have inquired about it.
And from memory, the video I saw, he didn't bow either. It was just a hello with a handshake.
I don't think he has to bow to the Pope. You mean the Pope didn't bow to him?
Pope to the King, yes.
Oh, well, he's not going to do that, is he?
No, I think they're on an even playing field.
I don't think the Pope, no, I think the Pope, did the Pope extend his ring and ask him to kiss the ring?
That's a good question.
That's normally what happens. I don't think Charles would have been into that either.
No, I think we would have seen that if that happened.
Mm. They, mind you, I was quite intrigued because they said when they went to visit, we're all for people visiting and meeting each other, aren't we? But that when they said they prayed together. But when I looked, I had expected them both to be kneeling down in front of the altar praying, but that didn't happen. They stood at two lecterns and read things. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. If I was producing the drama, Angus, I might have done something differently. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
my texter says the Pope probably ordered in pizza these days. Maybe he did. This is all by the by, isn't it? Because we're up to question 25.
Lucky last. Mm.
Question 25, and to win. We're in a category called spears. Which Greek goddess is usually depicted with a spear?
Now, my Percy Jackson knowledge has come into play once again. The goddess of wisdom or warfare, that would be Athena.
Very nice. You see, all this childhood reading it always comes in handy. Mangus, doesn't it?
I've been absolutely blessed there. I've pulled it out of nowhere with the Pope, but yes, this childhood reading. The movies weren't anything special, but the books were pretty good.
The books are pretty good. Baronia in Adelaide says only Commonwealth subjects bow or curtsy to the king. Oh, I don't think that's right, is it, Baronia? Don't all subjects, including British subjects, bow or curtsy to the king? I think so.
I'm not too versed in my Pope rules or King rules or my sort of royal duties, but I think that sounds about
right. Australians are not very good at it. Remember when Paul Keating put his arm around the Queen?
Yes.
He didn't really. He did put his hand in her back, though.
It was definitely not a curtsy, let's put it like that.
What did the British papers call him? The Lizard of Oz. That's right. Yes, Robin says, Philip, they were not actually praying, they were just showing reverence to God. Well, I'm sure that's right, Robin, but however, it was billed as that they would pray together. That's all. I mean, that was only my puzzlement at the matter. Anyway, good on them, whatever. I hope the Pope showed him around the joint, the Vatican, because, I don't imagine Charles is. Oh, maybe he would have gone there as Prince of Wales, Angus. I don't know.
No, it surely would. It should or would have been a king. You would think, anyway.
Maybe. The Pope should have said, why did you do it all those years ago? We could have been friends. Yeah. All righty. Angus, well done. We'll put you on hold. We'll get some details from you, and we'll get this magnet out to you. He had been as prince, apparently, yes. He had been as prince, but it was his first time as king to the Vatican. 1-300-800-222. Al from Hobart says, well done on the winner. Excellent work. Yes, Jane from Homebush had Athena. Thank you. There's comments about the Pope. Yes, well, they're not broadcastable. Maria's had Diana, no. Where's Stephen of Engadine? So it says someone, Stephen's still around. He rang in not that long ago. He's still around, still with us.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.